You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
us with your light. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything was well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it was not, and it had to get done, it must be done, and it will get done, and it got done, because why? You did it regardless, and you did it safely. So we appreciate that. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But you can also go to a shortcut. That's right, babaoshi.net. Babaoshi.net. And there will be those same programs that are dated and titled will be available to you. That's right. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Cambon and Nataki Cambon. That's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. There is a program I heard Brother Elliot say something. I'm not sure if it's on Thursdays or not, but I'll get that information from him. But I know on Fridays, if it's 8 p.m. Friday, I know. That's right, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays from 8 p.m. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then once again on Sundays, it's 7 p.m. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters,
this call may be recorded
or
transcribed.
Be supporting WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. My good brother and friend, Brother Bamani Tahimba, he got back last week from Ghana. He has a trip upcoming in April, so he'll be home for a while, April 1st through the 11th, going to Senegal and Gambia. Senegal and Gambia, April 1st through the 11th. And then May 24th through June 5th to Ghana once again. And then November 17th through the 28th to Tanzania. All of these trips cost $3,800 a person. And believe me, they're very affordable. They have a plan when you put some money down and pay on it as you go, that you plan your trip. Everything you need, dear brothers and sisters, is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. But if you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. If you want to see pictures, photographs, photos of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. Or give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429.
1-800-259-2929. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for helping Africans by establishing schools at home and abroad. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work, the projects they have, the Kashi Project, and of course that is in Ghana. Please, brothers and sisters, go to the website, habashahincorporated.org, and check out the progress that has been made. They also, of course, have the other programs that they have. Habashah Works, Black Tar Roots, Golden Growers, Sustainable Seeds, and Urban Green Jobs. Brothers and sisters, they are doing the work, and they definitely deserve to be supported. HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group, doing outstanding work on the continent in the areas of human existence, of food, water, clothing, and shelter. For our people, they have 12 projects in 6 countries, and they employ over 170 people, and they have over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. If you are a member, you have the opportunity to buy land on the continent in Tanzania. That's right, Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, and all the Ashura, beautiful city of Ashura. So, I mean, check it out, Darush Islam in Tanzania. The LEDGE Group. Bibi Atumi. Bibi Atumi, ABIBITUMI.com. Go to BibiAtumi.com. Make it a favorite. Everything you need is right on that website, ABIBITUMI.com. Okay, where am I at right now? Here I am. Okay. Sometimes I got to get my bearings. You know how that is. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, on Ralph David Abernathy, serving delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and health drinks for you, with pastries and all kinds of good stuff, soups. And on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food that you can purchase. Contact Wadada's at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Brothers and sisters, check out the Medu. If you're in that area, check out Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, and so much more. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. If you're looking for a book, give her a call. She may have it. If not, she'll order it. 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother Gazimde Ajamu. Check him out. He has a coffee bar that he put into place. They've done great work in that place, believe me. It's a sacred place. It's a beautiful place. And it's located in Lithonia. That is east off of I-20, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. Give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. That's the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. And give a shout out to Afroletics. They have a store in the new Black Wall Street Market. It's a former Target store that has been converted beautifully. And that's near the Stonecrest area. In the Stonecrest area, goes, once again, you're going the same way that you would go to the Black Dot, going east on I-24, or going west if you're east of that, you know. But you exit Pleasant Hill Road, and if you're coming from Atlanta, you make a right, and I think it's the third light. If you pass the Bojangles, you went too far. So you take that light right there, and then it's on the left, and it's the new Black Wall Street Market. And Brother Athletics, he has the athletic African-centered names, themes, the Zulus, the Rebels, the Omecs, the Moors, the Herus. Yeah, I tell you, it's great, great, good work, too. It's, in fact, I got me a Marcus Garvey shirt that I love from there, yeah, and an Ankh hat, Afroletics. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics. I always like to say family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. But if you want to use, you know, but if you want to call in to listen, you can do that. If you want to give a question, comment, or a concern, hit 1, put you up into the queue. And the number is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us. Homeland Village. Homeland Village, your community event center in Macon, Georgia. They're not open on Mondays. They're open from Tuesday through Sunday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village, your cultural gift shop. They have, man, he has everything in that place. It's furniture, clothing, jewelry, books. They even have a restaurant serving vegan dinners, man. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. So if you're in the Macon area, please stop at Homeland Village. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. It's inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Give our sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Aiti, Sanjay-Aiti, brothers and sisters, please go online to sanjay-aiti.org and look at the work that Sister Gabby is doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And you know they don't have a safety net, so all of the things that they need come through donations of people outside of the community and even outside of the country, you know. And they need it. Look at the beautiful children there in their school uniforms, the health care that is being provided, the sustainable agriculture and entrepreneurship. So check it out at Sanjay, Sonjay-Aiti.org. Sanjay-Aiti.org. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, I can't speak enough of the work that Baba Baruti has done and continues to do to educate our young warriors along with his lovely wife, Ya, Inia Baruti, and they deserve to be supported. If you want to write a check or money order, make it out to Akabin Institute, send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use PayPal or Cash App, the Cash App is $ Ya, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And to send your cash donation one time or every month, whatever it is, whatever you can do, it's greatly appreciated. Also to Akabin Institute, Akabin House, if you want to check out some of the literature that Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. Many books I read from the Inye Sesim, which I'm about to do in a minute. You can buy them on Akabin House. AkabinHouse.com, A-K-O-B-E-N, house.com. Tonight, tune in to the new Black Panther Party radio program from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 to 9 Central, and, of course, 5 to 7 Pacific time. You can listen online. It's Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/the new Black Panther Party. Of course, you can call in and listen, as I just suggested that you can do to Us Lifting Us by calling 718-664-6398. That's 718-664-6398. But if you want to have a discussion or give a question, comment, or concern, you press 1. Okay, and that puts you up into the queue, and that when you dial 718-664-6398, just to listen, that is tonight. Baba Baruti will be speaking on the warrior's character. The warrior's character. I plan to listen. I know the big game comes on, Alabama, Georgia. I turn that down, and I just be listening and watching. You know what I'm saying? That's what I do. You know, so I'll be listening tonight to Baba Baruti and hear the radio presentation on the new Black Panther Party radio program. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I tell you, I'm going to Wednesday go over some of the ones that I missed when I was out. Because I want to make sure, you know, you get a chance to, I mean, not all of them, just some select ones that I think that, you know, because it's more profound than I could ever be. You know, I'm just reading them and, you know, reiterating. But believe me, it's deep wisdom. And many times that I've had a topic and I've gone to the Inye Sasim, I don't read it. I read it the program day of. And it just coincides with what I'm talking about. It just, that's the spirit, you know. January 9th. We take this blood oath so that one day the children and the unborn will take the same oath in our names. Baba Mukasa, Mukasa Africa, Baba Mukasa. We owe each and every African ancestor who contributed to the identification, study, building, sustaining, and passing down of the African way. We owe them beyond human measure, for without them, we would not be, nor be as we are. The only way that we can ever hope to repay them for their work on our behalf is to be them in everything we think, say, and do, offering others the African possibilities by example. Studying their wisdom tells us that they recognize our efforts at this time and in this place has an ongoing process of reacclimation and re-Africanizing nation building. We can but hope that they continue to unerringly contribute to our study of their uncompromising tradition of personal obligation. And we ask only that they open our minds to a warrior's reason for giving the deepest and most sincere reverence for what has always worked for us, so that we and future generations of Africans can safely come back home. I say, the Ugandans say, a promise is a debt. Our debt to them is immeasurable. Yet we warrior scholars promise to fully and gratefully pay this debt. To this end, we take the oath with our blood, knowing what it means to us, them, and our descendants. Ashe. Ashe. Affirm, I swear to love and defend African people with my very blood. Yes. Yes, I do. I swear to love and defend African people with my very blood. What I'm doing, brothers and sisters, I have, you know, Baba Broody came out with two Inye Sasims. The first one, the Calendar of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts, and then the other one, which is a Warriors for Warriors. So I read one from the other, or if I may read both. It depends upon, the day of, day before, and the other day. Because, you know, on Fridays I read Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So January 10th, the wicked flee when none pursueth. Proverbs 28:1. There has never been a statute of limitations on murder anywhere or at any time in the history of civilization. And this is as it should be. And because genocide is murder to the nth degree, it is only logical that there be no statute of limitations on the continuous, conscious, and engineered malevolent murder of this enormity. Therefore, the only resolution to Urugu's past and present murderous behavior is the enforcement of criminal justice by those against whom they have worked so diligently to commit genocide. Bearing this in mind and knowing the historical depth of Urugu's deceit, by resolution, we could not possibly mean any form of criminal justice that might be achievable in their courts, or some exonerating spiritual otherworldly karmatic reckoning which pretends that those innocents who currently live are not their murderous ancestors, or especially that Urugu are not one. As with Azania's South Africa, as with a Zanius truth and reconciliation farce. This would do no more than quiet the mental suicidal anxiety felt by the escapists among us. It would only serve to appease the fragmented egos of those who daily preach forgiveness and forgetfulness because their very validation in existence depends on it. Our warriors do not operate on the assumption that our enemies have a conscience, because they don't. In order to fulfill this divine instructions of Ma'adian balance and correctness, redistribution must come in the form of a criminal justice exercise by those against whom the murderous acts were and continue to be committed. I say, affirm, I have no reason to flee because of wrongdoing. Affirm, I have no reason to flee because of wrongdoing. The Inye say sim, brothers and sisters, of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, the Inye say sim of daily revolutionary thought. Haven't read these in a while, and I know that Kwame Nkrumah and Mama Marimba, their wisdom and their words are truly guides. This is Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament on February 2nd of 1835. He said, I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa and have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I do not think we will ever be able to conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them to be, a truly dominated nation. Every time I read that, man, I become deeply irritated. Deeply irritated. That's what I'm saying, man. The British, the French. Man, I have such deep disdain for all of them, for Europeans, because they, all of them are responsible. All of them. I believe strongly, this is what Kwame Nkrumah wrote at the Speech of Freedom in 61. Of course, you know, in 1957. Ghana was the first country to gain its independence from the Europeans, from the colonizers. And he said this some years later. I believe strongly and sincerely that with a deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, and friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Then he said this some years later. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Damn, I hate to read that, man, because how true it is when you look at Africa today, how true it is, how sad it is. Man. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans, by Urugu. This is a demand by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans. And because the future towards which the European leads us is genocide. It's genocide. Yeah. It's genocide. Brothers and sisters, today I'm going to talk about the 1776 Action Pledge and Critical Race Theory. I believe I spoke on it some time ago, and what a farce it is. But I've seen these two articles, so I wanted to throw them out there and have some discussion on them. I know that Wednesday I'm going to go into the Enyasesim and pluck some gems out of there, the ones that I missed, and we can talk about that. And then on Friday, my good brother, Bomani Tahimba of African for the Africans, and he'll have some things to say regarding his last trip and what's going on in Africa. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. I hope you are too. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the next hour. If you want to have some conversation right now, a few people on, you hit star twice. Hit star twice, and that will put you up ahead or put you online, and we can have conversation. If you have a question, comment, or concern, please hit star twice or just dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I tell you, you know, and the reason why I'm reading these because all the things that are going on in this country as it relates to the European, the Caucasian, the Urugu, realizing that, you know, they have been experiencing population, you know, negative population growth for many for a few decades now, and their numbers are dwindling globally. They were only 10% of the world's population to begin with. They were only 10%, you know. But they are a very warlike, conquering people, you know. That's why when you see Russia, which is north of China in that area, you know, they migrated from that point out of Europe. They kept expanding themselves, going east, you know. Russians are Caucasians. Russians are Eastern Europeans. Russians are Europeans. Just like the Spanish, the Norwegians, they're Europeans. And they have a mindset that who they are, that they should dominate the world. Who they are, they should dominate. 602-602, good morning.
Yes, Brother Oshie, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Marcus. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, brother.
Good.
You know, you said something a while ago. You said there are only, 10% or 9% of the world's population.
Yes.
But, you see, in order for them to stay on top, they have to recruit from the same group of people that they are oppressing.
Yes.
See? It's not their numerical numbers. It's they recruit from the oppressed group and then use the oppressed group as a club over the rest of the people.
Right. They manipulate. They undermine and manipulate.
Manipulate. That's how they do it. Mm-hmm. And it's time for our people to take the veil off our face.
That's right.
These people for who they are. Charlatans, liars, you know, mm-hmm. everything bad. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what's happening in the Sudan.
Okay.
Because we see what's taking place in the Sudan with that military government. Now, you see, they made that coup on the 25th of October because they were supposed to turn over the country to civilian rule.
Okay.
But the generals, they said, uh-uh, we ain't gonna do that. We're gonna revert back to what, you know, we were at before. And then what they do, they went and got Hamdok, the previous president, prime minister, and reinstalled him. But Hamdok is smart. Hamdok said, hold on now. He backed out because they were still shooting the protesters.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yes.
So Hamdok said, you know what, let me back out of this, and left them there holding the bag. Mm-hmm. So now it's just the military and the people. See? And it's not even the entire military either. I think it's them top tier generals there. Because I have family members who have family members in the military there. And some of them people don't even get paid. Some of the lower tier military people, they don't get paid. Some of them, they can't get $50 a month. So, yeah, $50 a month. That's what the army, some of the foot soldiers getting. Mm-hmm. So, the only solution I see to the situation, Brother Oshi, is that the military itself gonna have to have a fight inside.
Mm-hmm. The internal itself, fight, yeah.
Yes, the military itself, within the military, some type of leadership have to emerge to get rid of them top-tier generals.
Right.
There's no other way because they're not going to move. You see, those people, and if Sudan goes into civil unrest, it's going to spread. It's going to spread to Chad. It's going to spread to Egypt. It's going to spread to Ethiopia. It's going to spread, you know, Sudan is a big country and it touches all these other countries.
Yeah, it does. It borders all of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, that's the only solution I see. I don't see no others because those people, they don't want to move. You see, the military, they were slick because they said, oh, okay, when the people rose up, they said, we want Bashir out. So right. They said, all right, here's what we have to do. Let's get Bashir out. Mm-hmm. But we still in charge.
Right.
You see?
Exactly.
Yeah. They still in charge. But now they are totally exposed. See? But that's the only way I see it because the people don't have the guns to deal with these people.
No, the military has all the weapons. No, they don't.
Yeah. They don't. So
there's no. So they can't wage an internal fight. Uh-huh. Because they don't have the weaponry. You know, they got the manpower because there are more people than there is military, but the military holds sway because they have the power.
They have the power. And it's just, as I said, it's just the top tier because 80% of those servicemen, they don't get paid. They have problem getting their money. $50 a month. That's what they pay in their arm. $50 a month. So, let's see what's going to transpire.
Well,
you know, sometimes.
Well, one thing that I don't want to happen is what you mentioned earlier, that, you know, this conflict, it spills over to other countries and of course, the destabilization of the African continent in itself. You know, when I constantly talk about, you know, African unity and one Africa, which needs to happen, which is so vitally important for the future of Africa and its people. But as long as we are divided like this, as long as we're manipulated, as long as the European countries, and long as other entities that are moving into Africa for Africa's resources, the Chinese, the Indians, the Koreans, the Arabs, and of course the Europeans, then You know, what hope is there for us as African people? What hope is there? There is no hope. You know, there is no hope. But I'm optimistic, though, Brother Marcus. I am, you know, I'm optimistic that it will come to fruition eventually because, as they say, a lie can't last forever. You know,
I agree with you, brother. Mm-hmm. Brother Ochi, keep on keeping on, and thank you so much for this program.
Well, thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you for always listening and contributing, man. I appreciate you, man. You take care.
No problem.
All right, my brother.
You too.
All right, peace. All right. Yeah, that's frustrating, man. You know, it's frustrating. And I know the Pan-African Federalist Movement is going to have a conference coming up. Us Lifting Us is going to have a conference coming up that's in March. And to me, some of the question needs to be asked. Do we, from the diaspora, do we have strong enough connections within the continent and within these governments to make them understand that this is the direction that we have to go? Damn what we've been doing. Damn these so-called 58 different countries that have really no true sovereignty and no true connection. Damn these borders that were drawn up at the Berlin Conference. Damn all of this bull. We need to come together as one Africa. I know Brother Ralph mentioned some about the different cultures. There really is only one culture, and that is African, but there are different modes and methods about how things have been done. But they need to understand that what's most important is us being African and coming together and unifying around that point. Because once that is done, then your lives will be respected and sustained. But if not, those who are coming into Africa have no feeling at all for humanity of African people. They want the resources. They want you gone. That's why I'm very leery of these population control mechanisms and techniques of vaccinations and other things that can be done to decrease African population and other populations of the world. There is no doubt about it. The only one that are talking about that are those whose population is decreasing. They ain't talking about no damn population control, but they're talking about it for other people around the world. So, you know, it is incumbent upon us to do all we can on a daily basis. That's why I do this every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Not just every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I talk about this every day. This is just who I am. I'm an African conscious person who wants Africa to be revitalized, re-Africanized, who wants Africans to control their land and their resources, who wants Africa to respect each other's customs and traditions, but understand that we are one African. We speak as one African voice. With respect of the different cultural groups of Ashanti, Fulani, and all the others, but what's most important, we are African, and we welcome the diaspora. We welcome brothers and sisters. Wherever we are, wherever we've been dispersed to, wherever we are now. And some of us, of course, don't want to claim that we are African. I was listening to Brother Umar Johnson talking to some brothers and sisters who claim they are not African, that they are indigenous to this land, you know, and that you know, they were not slaves here, although they were put into slavery when Europeans came. They argue that they were taken from here and taken to Europe and then brought back. I don't understand that. Maybe they were seasoned to be better servants by going to Europe. I mean, I don't know. You know. I tell you, you know,
just like Malcolm said, when the brother said, I ain't left nothing in Africa. You know, you left your mind in Africa. You know, I ain't no African. To this day, here in this time, I bet you if you take a poll and you're able to get a good sampling of us, and you're able to take a good sampling of us at various ages, the sad majority of us would not claim to be African. I hope I'm wrong. Rescue me if I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. That's why many of us who grew up in the 60s, the decade you were born in, the following decade you grew up in, I was born in the 50s, so I grew up in the 60s. The 60s hold a great sentiment to me of my development, of my consciousness. The 60s. And it was a time where we were calling each other brother and sisters. There was a time where we were understanding that this is what we have to do. But then, of course, the 70s came in, and many of us were tricked into believing that this system was going to be fair. And then there was the Negroes and the church individuals who wanted us to integrate. Once, you know, the bottom line to that, there is no real integration. What integration means, I take what I have and what I'm about, you take what you have and what you're about, and we mesh them. We integrate them. They didn't want shit from us. They didn't care about us. It wasn't no integration. It was forced assimilation. It was forced assimilation. And then when we assimilated into them, many of us bought into and believing. Man, yeah. So, this is the problems that we have. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And we have some conversation. Like I said, in the second half of the program, we're going to talk about the 1776 pledge, as well as critical race theory. And hope that you will join that conversation as well. You know, rescue me if I'm wrong, brothers and sisters. Believe me. Because I look at the sense of possibility for us as African people. And what potential we have, which is enormous. Even though we have a sizable population, over 1.something billion people. That's not the issue for us. Not even on the continent. There ain't no damn problem of overpopulation. That's bull. If we had our right mind, and because in our right mind, which is naturally collective, man, imagine what we can do. And we have everything we need. To brothers and sisters in the diaspora, hooking up with the brothers and sisters on the continent in mutual respect of brother and sisterhood, of working together, building roads, highways, ports, schools, hospitals, subdivisions, you name it. Highways that crisscross the continent, that have that have an understanding, awareness of migration patterns, of the beautiful wildlife that is in Africa, to preserve that. The water, the clean water that is there from the multitudes of lakes and rivers that are on the continent, the land for growing food, where Africa could literally feed itself and the world. When they be talking about all this jungle, there are more places on the, in other places that have more jungle than in Africa. The stereotypes by Europeans and the images that they have perpetuated around the globe and what has happened to us here in this country, to our minds, and the image that we have been impacted with or pounded into our head of the step and fetches and the sidekicks with the bulging. It's just sad and sickening. I do have to give Sidney, I mentioned his passing. I do have to give Sidney Poitier some credit because he didn't play those kind of characters. But he did play the characters that wanted white people to look at him as a man. Yeah, as a man. No, I'm down with Martin R. Delaney. I'm just not glad that he made me a man. I'm glad that he made me an African man, a black man, a man who has understanding and commitment to helping African people, a man who has a love, who wants to do all that he can to help African people. 646-646, good afternoon, or good morning still.
Odios, what's happening, brother?
AJ, how you doing today, man?
I'm all right, man. You know, we lost a real nationalist, pan-Africanist.
Oh, brother Ntoumé. Brother Ntoumé. Yeah,
you know, just mm-hmm. absolutely
yeah.
sad, man. Yeah. You know, I was reading a quote this morning from the Jezebel Eartha Kitt,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Eartha Kitt was talking about, somebody asked her, well, why did she marry a white man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Eartha Kitt said, well, the black men that I wanted, Sidney Poitier and Harriet Belafonte,
had white women.
Me. Yeah, she said Harry Belafonte kicked her out of bed and told her, don't get too comfortable or anything of that nature, because there ain't nothing that a black woman could do for me. And here it is. We love these fools. We worship these fools. I mean, you know, Roly Poly Martin took 2.5 hours to do a tribute to Sidney Poitier. I'd like to see how long his tribute's gonna be for Brother Ntoumé. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, he might make mention.
Oh yeah. He'll have maybe 3 or 4 people come on and talk about.
If he does that,
he'll do that because he basically said that he would.
Oh, okay.
But the point of the matter is, you can't take nothing away from Poitier and Belafonte. You got to give them credit for what
sure.
their credit is.
Sure.
Because they did good things back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they betrayed our people by getting with that dog.
Well, listen to this, Jay. They weren't Pan-Africanists. They were integrationists. You know?
Yes.
They wanted...
That's what most Negroes
yeah,
are.
Right. You know, they weren't strong for belief in Africans doing for themselves. They wanted Europeans to allow us, without restriction, to be a part of what they are and who they are and what they got. That's what they wanted. You
they
know?
Just want the cracker to be kind to them and loving and caring. They don't want to be beat mobbed.
Right.
They want to be treated as they.
We wanted to be treated as equals. Right. It's just like.
How could a white man ever be equal to me as an African? That's the problem. You done allowed him to brainwash you and confuse you to the point to where as you don't even know who you are. Mm. And, you know, we've gotten so caught up in that madness to the point to where as he's able to manipulate us to us to never see our true value without his so-called acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on even to this day. But no, I don't want nobody to think that I don't appreciate what those two men did.
Right. I agree.
I just don't have no damn respect for them.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all. You can appreciate what a person does and have no respect for them because there's a lot of implications that go into play when this happens. Mm-hmm. Give you a perfect example. The bubblehead, Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. The bubblehead got into a trouble, and he got divorced. Now, what he married was basically beneath him and white trash. But what has he done by having to divorce that trash? He now elevated her and her family into a status that they really wasn't part of. Now, why couldn't he do what Michael Jordan did? Michael Jordan went out there and did his thing and got divorced, but didn't he elevate that black woman and her family into a position that is supposed to be a continuation of the black family instead of leaving it to some chirurgical? You know, we don't understand marriage and relationships are political statements. We don't want to look at it that way because the white man doesn't confuse you that it's something less than that.
Well, you didn't. You know? You're in America, so it's you're an individual. So, you're an individual, so that's who you want to marry. As they say, you know, there ain't no thing about you. You don't hard to say who you're going to love. No,
that's such BS. Yeah. I don't know what it is because you know what it boils down to. When you get to a certain place in a certain position in a certain status, they want to be able to control you and the resources that is involved with that from the beginning.
Right.
Why do you think there's always these white people around you? Why do you always think that the biggest agents are white? And you know, these are things that we never think about. I mean, another perfect example. Serena Williams.
Yeah.
The daddy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I met the daddy and everything. When they first got into tennis, she got rid of that white man. And he controlled it. He brought black people around him, accountants, lawyers, and all of that. Right? Here, as time go on, what did they do? Got rid of them and replaced them with white folk. But you know the beauty of it is? Richard get a piece of Serena's money as long as she played. He was smart enough to do that. You know what I mean?
And well, he made them.
Her giving it all to white folks.
He made
you
him.
You know what I mean?
He was a man who didn't play tennis. He made them. He looked at them and he said, my daughters are athletic, and I'm going to do all I can. I mean, I know there are some other family members, the marriage he had prior to Orsine and the two Williams sisters, of which they had another sister that she passed. But, you know, he made them. He did all, just like in that movie that with Will Smith has portraying him. That's what he did. He should be in the Tennis Hall of Fame. No shit, I'm serious.
No question.
He should be in the Tennis Hall of Fame.
It all self-taught. Mm-hmm. All with a vision.
Yeah.
And here it is. What do they do? Give it all the white folks.
Yeah. Well, it's that because they was in that environment.
Give it all
you know, he couldn't
folks.
Maintain. He couldn't.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he was in that environment. They were in that environment. So I'm gonna take a break, Jay.
What you call him to do it, Sloane Stephens?
Yeah,
she went out there and married her a black tennis.
No,
player.
No, no. But she married a soccer player.
That's right, player.
Yeah, she married a soccer player.
But I definitely want to get in on that critical race theory. Just
all
put
right.
me on mute, and I'll okay. take over when you're ready.
All right, dear brother.
Hotep.
Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. You stay with us. We'll be right back on the other side.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Claudine, Gladys Knight in the Pits. I love soundtracks. I love great soundtracks, and that is one of the great soundtracks. There's a few of them, you know, Curtis Mayfield, and there's a few of them. I like to play them at times, but Claudine is one of my favorite. It's a great soundtrack, great movie. I know you agree. Roll Bounce, that's from a soundtrack, too. Over a skating movie with Bow Wow. Roll Bounce. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
and other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Acres of Diamonds. Excuse me, no. Black Therapy Central. Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9 with hosts Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturdays, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sundays, once again at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And tonight on the new Black Panther Party radio program from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., 7 to 9 Central, and 5 to 7 Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. You can go online to blogtalkradio.com/the new Black Panther Party. Or you can call at 718-664-6398. That's 718-664-6398. If you want to participate in discussion, you press 1 and it'll put you higher up in the queue. That is tonight with Baba Barudi talking about a warrior's character. And I know it's going to be a great program. It's going to be a great program tonight. You know, I tell you, these Caucasians are something else. And to me, when you look at how they operate and what they have done, and we continue, I mean, it's just like this whole situation with Trump and all the lies and the deceit and so forth, and yet still almost two-thirds of the Republican Party are still supporting this idiot. This lying, you know, the indoctrination is just too deep. It's messed up. It's sad, you know, and that's why, to me, the best move for us to get. In fact, another poll that said that armed insurrection, armed struggle is justified. Now, of course, as citizens, who they're going to fight? They're going to fight the police. They're going to fight the army, you know. That's crazy. And this ain't back in the 1700s or 1600s or the whatever, 1800s. This ain't in Africa. The armament of the army and the police. and I maintain that if these crackers want to do that, go ahead. Let us not get involved. But we're even involved in the critical race theory discussion on the side of the Caucasian. Just like Condoleezza Rice talking about, I don't want to upset the little white children. So I don't believe it should be taught. It's not taught. 1776 Action Pledge signed by hundreds of conservative politicians seek to counter critical race theory with its own indoctrination. 1776 Action claims it is fighting anti-American indoctrination. But what it's really doing is patronizing Caucasian people and coddling the abject insecurity of these so-called patriots. One thing I can't stand about manipulative and delusional conservatives is the way they pretend they're not doing exactly what they accuse the opposing side of doing. The Republican anti-critical race theory campaign is indoctrination. It's historical revisionism. It's ideological nonsense that prioritizes one race over others. It is divisive. Of course, when Caucasian conservatives talk about divisiveness, they're really only referring to things that make white people or Caucasian people uncomfortable and contradict the notion of American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism. They don't seem to care about African people, American African people, and people of other ethnicities. Their war against CTR alienates. That's not the part of the divide that concerns them. Remember, early last year on MLK Day, when Donald Trump administration released a 1776 commission report, which read like a Caucasian supremacist, a European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, guide to fictionalizing history in the name of Caucasian fragility, has a direct response to Nicole Hannah Jones's Pulitzer Prize winning work, The 1619 Project. Well, a group of conservative activists and politicians is taking the ode to Anglo-Saxon butthurt and turning it into a campaign to further whitewash historical teachings that have already been centered around whiteness for generations. According to Business Insider, more than 300 state and local politicians have signed the 1776 Action Pledge, which calls for a restoration of patriotic education that cultivates in our children a profound love for our country. You really can't rally for a history curriculum that exits with the expression agenda of cultivating in our children a profound love for our country and call it honest. Let's be honest. That would be like saying, I'm going to tell the honest and absolute truth about myself as long as that truth makes everyone love me. In 1776 Action claims it is fighting the anti-American indoctrination. But what it's really doing is patronizing Caucasian people and coddling the abject insecurity of those so-called patriots. Adam Waldeck, the group president, told Insider that 1776 Action will back conservative candidates in the 2022 elections, and that it's doing so is about moving the needle of public opinion wise and trying to get the right policies done. Let's, brothers and sisters, let's get the hell out of this madness. We cannot reform these people. We cannot change these people. There ain't a damn thing that we can do. There ain't a damn thing that we can do. Moving the needle of public opinion, of this indoctrination, simply to possess the sense of self-awareness to make their connection. People who have signed the pledge have vowed to prohibit any curriculum that pits students against one another on the basis of race or sex, and to prevent schools from politicizing education by prohibiting any curriculum that requires students to protest or lobby during or after school. Imagine prohibiting any curriculum that doesn't align with their views as a way to prevent schools from politicizing education. And if teaching is detailed things like Jim Crow, Reconstruction, or that most of the founding fathers were captive owners and bigots, pit students against one another on the basis of race. Once again, there's no such thing as race. There's no such thing as race, the white race. White folks came up with that notion of race. They created it. Go look up Johann Blumenbach. Go look up Carol Linnaeus. They created this concept of race, of stratifying human beings, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. Then so does teaching a curriculum that excludes these truths. African parents, American African parents and students have for eons felt pitted against dominance of Caucasianness through the shining hill, the shining city on the hill approach to teaching about what America is. But Caucasian people have been comfortable, and that's all that has ever mattered. Caucasian people have been comfortable, and it is all that ever mattered. People are very, you know, that's why to me, I don't care about debating Caucasians. To me, they can't stand up to the scrutiny of what the hell they've done. There's no justification. Yes, they can say that the ends justify the means. We use these ends of deep hatred and manipulation and murder and so forth, but it justified the means. We have a society that is modern. It promotes dishonest education that discourages accountability and atonement for racist acts in the U.S. history. Parents, Luna Nelson Brown, Salome Jordan, Leah Williams, representatives of the group Johnston Parents for Equality and Anti-Racism, wrote to Insider in a statement, "It promotes that children have unequal value. It pits students against one another on the basis of race and sex." The group also said the pledge has the exact opposite effect of its words and has politicized our educational system. To further illustrate how disingenuous the pledge is, look no further than the following excerpt. "Our founding fathers, including George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, as well as leaders like Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, and Martin Luther King Jr., were among the greatest Americans to ever live, and they deserve to be honored as heroes." Let's not pretend Frederick Douglass and Dr. King were tossed in there as a "see, I have black friends, so I can't possibly be racist" statement. Douglass' famous 4th of July speech, "What is your 4th of July to me?" alone would be considered by Republicans to be critical race theory today. And conservatives purportedly to love them some MLK were silent when Texas passed anti-critical race theory legislation that dropped requirements for educators to teach the words of MLK. They passed anti-critical race theory legislation that dropped requirements for educators to teach the words of Dr. King, who, by the way, said plenty of disparaging things about Caucasian people and America during his lifetime. Our children and grandchildren should be taught to take pride in their country, to respect our founding principles of liberty and equality, and to have a sense of American history that is both truthful and inspiring, said the pledge. And yet, teaching history that is truthful would mean pointing out that America's so-called founding principles of liberty and equality were established nearly a century before our captivity ended, and nearly two centuries before the Civil Rights Act has passed. These people don't want honesty. They want to preserve the big American lie at all cost. These folks are lying, just like Trump threw that lie out there. And many people bought that big lie. These folks are liars. That's what they are. They're the great prevaricators. They ain't but a bunch of damn liars. That's what they are. And they do all that they can to continue to lie. Caucasian educators offers white well-being course rejecting anti-white propaganda by teaching pro-white propaganda. One has essentially gone to war against critical race theory despite their object inability to correctly define what it is. They don't even know what... All of these people that were talking about critical race, not one of them in any of them damn meetings, any school board meetings, anything on TV, any other discussions I've seen on YouTube, could even possibly talk about what critical race theory was or define it. We'll have the same energy when it comes to little things like to call, critical race theory. Actually, there's nothing to wonder about here, because Caucasian conservatives have already shown their racism and hypocrisy by either ignoring or advocating for decades-old great replacement theory. The great replacement, you know, Jews will not replace us. Yeah. Which generally revolves around Caucasian people's paranoia that they're being replaced by non-Caucasian immigrants and African people, American African people. And also a theory that implies that Caucasian people have an inherent right. They have an inherent right to be the dominant culture in the Western world. I'm starting to seriously suspect that a lot of Caucasian people are racist. Oh, really? Yeah, you know it. Anyway, there's apparently now a homeschool curriculum being offered to Caucasian parents that includes a field of study titled White Well-Being. And yes, it is every bit as racist as it sounds. White Well-Being. According to the Daily Beast, a site called the School of the West recently launched an online educational source for homeschooling parents who like their history whitewashed, their social studies Caucasianized, and their politics purified in the waters of Lake Minnehunky. Lake Minnehunky. Stop it. Lake Minnehunky. I ain't used that word in quite a while. Hunky. Yeah. In the case y'all think I'm exaggerating about this being a blatant Caucasian supremacist curriculum, the core study, which is advertised for students as young as 4, boasts that it will help children understand the gift of being born a member of Western kind and the qualities that separate us from other cultures. And then later clarify, as if anyone needed clarification, that the Caucasian culture is known as Western kind. It also promises to teach them how to spot and respond to anti-Caucasian propaganda that supposedly suffers modern life. Why Caucasian people are the only true citizens of Western nations, and how feminism destroyed the family unit, the supposed backbone of all Western kind, thus weakening our society. The Daily Beast reported. Imagine that the course study is touted as a fight against anti-white propaganda while also upholding Caucasian people as the rightful dominant culture of the West, which is the literal concept of Caucasian supremacy, which is what white people refer to as anti-white propaganda. So I'm sure all of this critical race theory advocates are hopping mad about this, right? No. After all, isn't the main issue Republican politicians have cited falsely in regards to critical race theory that it teaches one race is inherently racist, or that one race is superior over others? I'm now starting to seriously suspect that anti-critical race theory folks are lying about being opposed to racial divisiveness, and are actually opposed to anything that makes white people uncomfortable. That's what they're opposed to. Anyway, the School of the West was reportedly founded by a man who goes by the name of Brent Danger, which is apparently just a creepy pedophile-ish version of his real name, Brent Williams, according to the Anti-Defamation League. It was extreme research that was done early this year. Caucasian nationalist stranger Dangler Williams, I feel like he's take that moniker as a compliment, was a teacher for the Page Unified School District in Page, Arizona. A representative for the district told the Daily Beast that despite the district's knowledge of his heart whiteness and divisive hatred homeschooling project, Williams was allowed to leave on his own instead of being fired for being blatantly racist and a pedophile. But seriously, the anti-critical race theory Caucasians are upset about this blatant racial indoctrination of students, right? No. I think we all know the answer to that. They're not. They're not. They're mad as hell because something else is being taught to their children. See, they, you know, in the mortal words of the character Colonel Nathan Jessup in the movie A Few Good Men, the character played by Jack Nicholson, while he's on the stand being grilled by the character played by Tom Cruise, when he said, "I want the truth," and then Nathan Jessup yelled out, "You can't handle the truth." You can't. They can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth. When I look at the history, Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history of the European. I had to study that. I had to study that. I apologize. I don't know what the hell that's going on. But for me to understand our history, for me to understand why are we in this situation? Why is the world in the predicament that it is in? Why is a people who are less than 10% of the world's population controlling almost 80% of its resources and controlling 80% of its land and controlling many other groups through all kinds of surreptitious or even overt means? I had to look at that history. Had to read some of what our scholars, I ain't talking about Negroes, I ain't talking about bought and sold, I ain't talking about damn Henry Louis Gates or, you know, or anybody like that. I was going to name some names, but I'll leave that alone. But I looked at our scholars. What did Drusilla Dudley Houston say in 1926, the same time that Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week, which evolved into what I say is African and American African History Month in February, next month. Drusilla Dudley Houston said, she wrote the book in 1926, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. She said, out of ethnology, archaeology, paleontology, as well as history, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race, our culture, can dare not refute. How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? The leadership that we have, particularly the Christian leadership, I would even say the Muslim leadership, if we have that. Not so much because the Muslim leadership, they, you know, particularly in the Nation of Islam and maybe some other Muslims, I don't know. But, you know, the Christian leadership, because that's particularly in this country, the majority of who we are, the teachers, the educators, all of them have no idea of the history of African people. Because we've been led to believe, and many of us have been led to believe and still believe, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose and not having created anything of any kind, of any substance. Even when Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop in 74, along with the linguistic Dr. Thelophilia Obinga, at the symposium, they were the only two Africans at the symposium in Cairo, the only two, and they kicked ass. They kicked ass. They proved that the ancient Kemetic people, the people right there from Cairo, the people right there in so-called Egypt, Kemet, were African people. That's why I implore you once again to go look at the documentary Great Pyramid K, 2019. It explains to you how the pyramids were built. It explains to you how all those statues and all the pottery, all of it, it wasn't sculpted. They only had copper tools. You couldn't do that. You can't hit some damn granite and stone and chisel it to perfection. They were poured. They were poured. They melted the granite. Using a solar lens. This is what they did. Go to the damn video, Great Pyramid K 2019. Yes, I know it's long. Whatever you can do to break it up so you can view it correctly and view it again, because I just watched it a couple of days ago and learn more. I'm going to watch it again and again. And even though Dr. Shekinah Jah proved, because the melanin dosage test was the smoking gun, they did not let him have access to the mummies for decades. Well, not that long, because he died in the 80s, but for years. But when he got them, they proved the melanin. Amounts of melanin were in these individuals. They were African. There were other things that proved they were African. Even the Greeks said it. Other people said it. There was all this proof. But yet and still, even now, even to this very day, even as I'm speaking, yet and still, National Geographic, The Learning Channel, Public PBS, all of them, still, even movies, still, the European places himself in Kemet. That he was, yeah, I understand that the Ptolemies didn't bring anything to it. They just wanted to maintain it. Yes, they claimed it because they had, you know, to the conqueror. But the Ptolemies were not, they are not counted. Let me repeat. They are not counted in the dynasties. The Ptolemies are not counted in the dynasties. It ends in number 30. It ends after our last great walk in the sun. They're not counted. The Ptolemies are the Greeks. They are not counted. So, let's get some people up in here. I have a number of you guys. If you want to, you have a question or comment, hit star twice. Hit star twice. And then you can join or give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Hit star twice if you want to get in this conversation. And so here you have these people coming up with the 1776. Because see, when the 1619 project, when the sister brought that out, you know, I don't know if it was stated or presumed that this is the beginning of the American, you know, and no, we don't want the beginning of America as part of the enslavement of Africans and the taking of the land of the indigenous people. We don't want that. You know, we want the beginning of America and the birth of America at the time of 1776, when we claimed our independence from England and we began to found this great country, you know, and then to begin to move westwardly. Go west, young man. We had manifest destiny. You know, the white man's burden. You know, that's what they want. You know, and the great founding fathers. You know, that's what they want. The lies. Because they can't handle the truth. 646-646, good afternoon. Jay?
Yo, Oshi, put me back on hold.
Okay.
And I'll...
Okay. I know you said he had something to say about this particular topic, and I hope that you do too. If you do, I see I have a number of people in the queue, so if you want to, just hit star twice and you can be in on the conversation. Yeah. And I know many of us know this. Many of us don't. So let me give a correct term. Some of us know this, but many of us don't. The majority of our people, just as I said earlier, the majority of our people, if we would have them honestly state, are you African? They would say no. Many of our people believe that we're a new creature. I remember this one brother said that on the radio. Because, you know, those ties had been severed when we were brought here. And then we were in captivity, and then we were freed. And we became a new person. No. Yeah. Yeah. But as far as I know, and I've known this a long time, if you want to talk about the end game, if you want to talk about salvation, if you want to talk about where we will be and where we should be as a people, it is on the continent of Africa. In an Africa that is unified. In an Africa that Dr. Shikanta Jop, a federalized state, that Kwame Nkrumah, Patrice Lumumba, Thomas Sankara, many of the great African minds understood that it must be unified. It just can't be one country here or there. It must be unified. It just can't be one tribe. It must be unified. Yes, we must have respect for the other cultural groups. But all cultural groups must understand that it is the unification of African people that is the salvation for African people. And whatever religion or whatever spirituality that you have, if it is threatening, if it is something that could be divisive, don't bring it. Don't bring it. Because what's ultimately most important is African people uniting. African people. And so, I only have a few more minutes left. This Wednesday, I'm going to read over some of the gems of knowledge of Baba Baruti and the people who give quotes to the Daily in Yesesim, Daily Revolutionary Thoughts, to keep you focused, to keep you committed, to keep your eye on the prize. That's what we need. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. Because if we don't, you see, you know, I know there, once again, I'm using these words. There's only a few of us who understand this. Because the majority of us do not and don't want. And of that majority, there are some that just haven't been exposed. But there are a lot that don't want to. They don't want to know. It's like that saying, you know, if you knew better, you do better. Yeah. But a lot of us don't want to know better. We don't want to know. Because by knowing, that automatically makes you or should make you change your behavior, should make you think by knowing. So just like that, I was in that conversation with some years ago, and this sister said, I don't want to know. I don't want you to tell me. This is the way I think, and I don't want to hear what you got to say. She didn't say it like that, but that was the course. Of course, that was the jest. You know, I'm thinking this way. I'm thinking the way Massa taught me, the way Massa trained me. And I don't want to think outside the box. I don't want to think outside the imposed boundaries the Europeans have placed themselves. I don't want to release the vice grip that they have on my mind. I listened to the program Saturday with Dr. Bruce Bridges, Reclaiming the African Mind. That's on Blog Talk Radio on Saturdays, American African Empowerment Saturday. And he's going to be on not this Saturday, but the following Saturday with another portion of, because he's bringing down his book with Brother Marvin. That is Saturdays on Blog Talk Radio and from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. And that number, African American Empowerment Saturdays, is from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. And that number is 845-277-9250. 845-277-9250. I'm going to listen again. I like the young man. I like his program format. See what else they have to offer. But, I agree with to a good extent of what Dr. Bruce Bridges has done in his book, Reclaiming the African Mind. Although for me, African spirituality must be in the forefront. Everything is, if it's not African, then I say it should be rejected. And I'm just being committed like that. If it's not African, it should be rejected. That's why, to me, everything that Caucasians have done should be rejected. If there's something that they have done that we can use, we use it. If it is not, kick it to the curb. The whole focus should be what African people can do within themselves. The whole focus should be what African people, men and women, and elders and children, can do within themselves to move us as a sovereign people in this century. Because if we don't, we're going to be done. That's why this Caucasian, I made mention of him before. I played a piece that where he talks about why Africa should remain poor. Howard Nichols. We must keep Africa poor so we can take their resources. We must keep Africa poor so they don't begin to produce anything. It is difficult. If you had an opportunity to go to Africa and you see, our brothers and sisters, young folks on the street with things on their head, pushing and promoting that stuff that are not made in Africa. It's difficult when you go to a cocoa farm, and you see the vastness of it, and you realize that everything is going to be leaving here and going to Europe or America, to Nestle's, to Hershey's, to Cadbury's, so forth. It's difficult. Why there is no production? It's difficult when I was talking about with the Baba, back in Ghana. And we're looking over the horizon at night, and we see these lights. So it's a fishing vessel, and I said, Baba, what's that? It's a fishing vessel. He said, yeah. He said, is it Ghanaian? I said, no, it's Japanese. The fishing vessels out there catching fish, and everything is done right there on that ship. Processing, freezing, the packaging. Yeah. Hey, Jay. Yeah.
Excuse me. Right quick. In regards to critical race theory, if we as a people was really on point and we had things in place, we could be able to use this attack on critical race theory to expose this white man for what he is, for the liar, deceiver that he is.
Right.
And his inability or want for the truth to be told about how no good stinking and rotten he is. But unfortunately, we got too many people that want to accommodate white folks and their oppression of us as a people that has basically allowed for these devils to get away with it,
yeah,
and to be able to basically shut down that narrative. And that's the dangerousness of America.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
You know, I just really wanted to point that out, because the whole argument of critical race theory wasn't even an argument that was discussed and really presented to non-intellectuals, if the truth
right.
be told.
No, and you're right. It wasn't.
That's the argument for the Negro pain to mm-hmm. make him feel good about himself and
yeah.
to hopefully feel as though what they was doing was of some substance of value.
Right.
And the whole thing boils down to, when you get to that point and you really want to deal with critical race theory, you got to confront white folks, and Negroes too scared to confront white yeah. folks, if the truth be told.
Yeah.
So it's all a game, bro.
I hear you. Well, I'm going to take me another call, Jay.
All right.
All right, dear brother. Thank you.
You're on mute.
Okay. 505-340. Good afternoon.
How you feeling, man?
Hey, Baba. I'm doing well. How you doing?
Man, I'm listening to you. I'm doing all right. Everything is moving right along. I just got a call from Kamal about 20 minutes ago.
I was going to ask, have you heard from him? How's he doing in Ghana?
He's doing pretty good, but he didn't know. We had a lot of cats that we grew up with who passed away in the month of December, about five people.
Wow.
And he was really shocked. But we was on the yeah. phone. Yeah, I was glad to hear from him.
I know.
Get in touch with me to let me know what the story was.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did. And next time you talk to him, man, please give him the greetings for me, please.
I told him that when he called, I was listening to your show.
Mm-hmm.
So the call interrupted the show. So I took the call and it was him.
Right on. And good.
So he said he'd probably have to come back here sometime sooner than he think, because he's having a little problem with the house. You know, I think he leased his house out. Deal with.
Okay.
So see, I watched him and Maria build that house from the ground up. They built that house.
Okay. What in where they at, in North Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down outside of Raleigh.
Mm-hmm. And okay.
But anyway, he was just overwhelmed when I told him. He was asked. You know, I gave him an update. You know, we had about five people die a week. Back to back, dude. And so he was just telling me they live up in the mountains and whatnot. And he mentioned you and Jay. You know, he said he has to get in touch with you and Jay.
So okay.
I said, as we speak, I'm listening to Oshi on the phone.
Right on. Okay. Okay,
also,
Baba.
I gave him an update. Max Roach is, I'm taping, they're doing a birthday tribute to Max Roach. His birthday is today. I'm recording. It started midnight last night, and it goes until midnight tonight on WKCR.org. That's Columbia University Radio Station. They do it every year. They do a birthday tribute to Brother Max Roach.
Right on.
And I'm taping it as we speak in the other room. I got the tape on in the other room.
So right just, on.
For those who are down with the music, who are listening, WKCR.org is on as I'm speaking. It's been on since midnight last night, and it goes until midnight tonight, which is Monday night going into Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right on. All right, Baba. Said right on, Baba.
Yeah, but I'm glad to hear that you're back on. I was a little confused, man, when I couldn't tune you in last week. I think it was last week. I kept turning on dialing that number.
Right,
and
right.
What's happening? And I was hoping that maybe you was on vacation, so you was a little under the weather. Huh?
Yes, I was. I was having a problem with my breathing.
You remember what I told you about being healthy, right?
I know, brother. I'm taking that to heart. Believe me, I am, because this is not a sprint, brother. This is a marathon. You know?
You got that right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I would emphasize all the time, take care of your health.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, you ain't got no way. I wouldn't be able to hear you on the radio, on the phone, man.
Right
without
on.
That. You understand?
Well, also, too, you just mentioned the number of people that y'all knew that just died, that just passed away recently, man. You know? And so I understand that.
For those that are out there, I don't know. These were all ball players. A guy named, his name was James Lynch. We call him Jump Shot Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
He was one. He was the first one to pass away, the first week of December. The second week, a guy named Rudy Walker. He passed away the following week. Franklin Thomas, who I wasn't that friendly with, but I knew him from playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
He used to run the Ford Foundation. He was about 87, 88.
Mm. So all these guys were in their 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm 80, so
right.
Lynch was 84.
Okay.
Rudy is my age. He's 80. He's 79, 80.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bill Curly, we call him Curly. His name was Curly. I can't think of it. Anyway, he became a Muslim. He,
mm-hmm.
he changed his name to Malik something or other.
Okay.
And but we all grew up playing ball. You know, grew up.
Oh yeah.
Bedford Y.
Yeah,
I
know that spirit, brother. Believe me, I do. As a former ball player myself, man.
Like fly. So when Kamal called, he asked me that I knew that Curly had passed away because
mm-hmm.
Curly had moved from Brooklyn down to Raleigh in his area.
Mm-hmm.
And I told I said no, I didn't know Curly had passed, and then I told him, I said, well, did you know that Jump Shot Jimmy died? He said no. He said what? Then he got.
Yeah.
So he wasn't aware of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to send him some things, some stuff that I'm going to send him when I get the correct address and whatnot. But he definitely asked me about you and Jay.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And when you talk to Baba again, you give him the greetings for me, and I look forward to him when he comes back. You know.
Yeah.
To talking like with him again. All
and
right.
Like I'm telling those who are into Max Roach and the music, the real music that went down,
mm-hmm.
WKCR.org.
Right on, WKCR.org.
I'm in Mexico. I'm 2 hours behind,
but the
birthday tribute is every year on January the 10th, and it's 24 hours. So you got from now until midnight tonight. You get all back Abby Lincoln. At that time, they were married, and they wrote that
freaking style suite. So what's that again? W what?
WKCR.org.
All right. WKCR.org.
That's in New York. That's 89.9 FM. That's Columbia University radio station.
Columbia University.
89.9 FM. Now I'm out here. I'm 2 hours behind.
Right.
You got Eastern.
Yes, I'm on Eastern time. Exactly. I'm on Eastern time. So I'm.
Yeah. So for those who are interested or want to hear WKCR, I've been taping it since I got up this morning, 6 o'clock.
Okay.
But WKCR.org, you can hear all of Max Roach, Abby Lingus. No commercials, nonstop, 24 mm-hmm. hours.
Okay,
so
my
listen,
brother.
Man, like I'm going to tell you, like I always tell you, take care of your health, brother.
All right, Baba MVP.
You know Entombi passed away.
Right.
Too, right,
yeah. I know Entombi passed. Yeah. I mentioned him earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, well, he used to play ball with us. He would come up from Philly sometimes.
Okay.
You know, and play a little ball. You know, he's a good ball player.
Right.
But listen, man, I love you, man.
You too. You too, Baba.
Take care of your health, man.
I sure will, my brother. Thank you so much, Baba. Okay. Peace to you.
Okay.
All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodie. Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.